Good to have Robert with us today. He's one of the children's evangelists in the Free Presbyterian Church, and he's going to come now and bring the closing word. And the boys and girls, you're going to sit and you're going to give him your best attention, and everybody else is going to do the same. Thank you.
There you are. There's the law laid down, I'm telling you. Okay. I have to say, it's been a delight to be with you today. And you know, just with the air of silence at the end of that program, I can just tell how much we really enjoyed it. It was tremendous. And we trust that the Lord will bless you, boys and girls. And for those of you who are saved, that he'll take you and they'll use you and your talents to serve him as you grow up into godly men and women for the Lord. We've had a wonderful day. Tremendous to be here this morning and be part of the service. And this is a different crowd of boys and girls tonight. Some of them are changed, and it's from a different part of the work. It's the children's work. And we had the privilege of being here with the boys and girls at Christmas time, and we brought a very obscure story. And tonight we're going to do the same thing. We're going to bring a very strange, obscure story. But as I say, we've had a wonderful day. And then I had a wonderful afternoon. I was able to go to my wife's Auntie Anne's, and she's really my Auntie Anne now as well. And we're delighted that she's able to be with us tonight, along with a friend. And if you see me tonight walking slower and talking more slowly, it's Auntie Anne's fault for her. She feeds me up better than my wife does, because my wife knows what size I am. And Auntie Anne, she lets me off with so many things. So it's tremendous to be here and to be part of the service tonight. For the mums and dads, we have a Bible reading. We'll probably not delve into that Bible reading, but it's found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And for boys and girls who I know love to have an extra 15 minutes up at bedtime when they should be asleep, I want you to listen to this next bit very carefully. Because if you're still at school and you're not on your holidays, I'm sure you still have to go to bed a little bit early and at the proper time. And so here's the trick for you to get staying up a little bit later each night. Now, if your mom and dad's here, I want you to mind your own business. This has nothing to do with you. This is between me and the boys and girls. And so, boys and girls, you need to remember the next bit really well. And the next bit that you need to remember is the Bible reference that I am going to give you. Because if you haven't got that, then you'll not be able to do this. And it's 2 Kings chapter 6. You need to remember that, because in the next few nights, as you have had your supper, and you've had your teeth cleaned, and your jammies are on, and you're being put to bed, and it's time for sleep, and no more getting up, you sit up all of a sudden and say, 2 Kings chapter 6. And your mommy and daddy will go, what does that mean? And you'll just say, it's about Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 6, would you read that to me? And then put on one of your wee faces. And your mom and dad will read that to you, and lo and behold, by the time they're finished, you get an extra 15 minutes. So it's 2 Kings chapter 6. Well done. Well done. 2 Kings chapter 6. They must all want to go to bed early. Okay. Now, as I said earlier, this is a slightly obscure story. At Christmas time, we told you a very obscure story about Elisha and the big pot of soup. And tonight we want to tell you about Elisha and the axe head that was lost. And you boys and girls need to know this, that it's very, very difficult to go into the Bible bookshop and find a story on this particular passage. Now, you'll find plenty of story books on Noah's Ark and Moses and the parables and many other things, David and Goliath, but you'll never find anything on this story. It's really obscure. In fact, it's so obscure and so strange. When I was a little boy, I used to wonder, what was the point of putting this in the Bible? But it's there. You see, boys and girls, it's a story about a godly man called Elisha. And we're told here that Elisha was training up and teaching the young men. And it was like a boarding school, a Bible school. And he was teaching all the sons of the prophets the things of God. He was teaching them that God was the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things. He was teaching them that God was a God that hated sin, loved righteousness, and yet was willing to forgive and to cleanse and to pardon those who would repent from their sin. And he would teach the young men all these things, and then he would send these young men out into the community, and they would spread the word about the one true living God. But the problem was this, boys and girls, if you look at verse 1, that this school was far too successful. It became really, really very popular. And it says here, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us." That means it's too small. You see, it came a time when they were all packed in there. Some of them didn't have a seat. There was no room. And whenever they were sitting down to do their work, some of them didn't have a table. There was no room. In fact, it came to the point where they were all squashed that much that the place was too straight. It was too small, and they had to do something about it. This school wasn't big enough. And so the decision was made to knock down the school. Now, the boys and girls would like me to finish the story just there. That'd be some ending, wouldn't it? Knock down the school. Hip, hip, hooray. But you know what? It says in verse 2, "Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan." You see, they decided, boys and girls, that because this school was too small, that they would knock it down and they would build a new school, bigger and better, so that everybody could fit in. Everybody would have room. And that's what they decided to do. But the problem was this, boys and girls. These young men didn't have any money. And they didn't have any tools. And they didn't have any finance to buy the timber. And so one young man said, "What we could do is we could borrow tools from our friends and our neighbors." I want you to think very carefully about what type of tools you would need. Way back in Bible times, there was no electricity. There was no power drills, none of that stuff. And maybe some of them might have brought and bought and borrowed tools from their friends. And some of them might have, I brought some tools with me tonight. Some of them might have thought to themselves, "We could borrow one of these here. What do you call this? A chainsaw." Well, near enough. It's just an ordinary saw. I brought a chainsaw in here. It'd be some noise, wouldn't there? That's just an ordinary saw. It's pretty old, but I think it still works. I think it's still good enough. We'll see what happens here. What? Some of them might have borrowed a saw, because you need a saw to build a new building. Some of them might have borrowed something else. What do you see this here? What do you think this is? Any idea? Not yet. Still no idea. What do you think? What do you see? Hold on, we'll see here. Do we find it here? Hey, you're not so soft. A hammer. That's a big hammer. Look at that one there. That's a terrific hammer, that. You could do some damage with that, couldn't you? And some of them might have wanted to borrow a hammer. That would be a great thing to build a new school with. But you know, there's one young lad. He was very, 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 very bright, and he came up with a really terrific idea. You see, they needed timber, and they needed tools, and he thought he could combine the two together. He came up with a great idea. He thought to himself, "What we could do is we could go and cut down some trees." Now, I want to throw in a wee thing just now. I don't want to see any of you boys and girls down the park doing what this fellow did, or I'll be in big trouble. You don't just go cutting down trees. And he thought, "We'll go and we'll cut down some trees, and we could use the timber, and we could use that to build this new school." And he thought to himself, "I'll borrow one of these. I have a friend, and I've got one of these here." What do you think of that? You'll sit up. You'll sit up now and fold your arms. That's a big axe. That's right. Now, these bodyguards in the end keep these children quiet. Okay. And he borrowed a big axe from his friend. And the decision was made that they would all go down to the River Jordan, just as it says in verse 2. "Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan." You see, boys and girls, down at the River Jordan, that's where the biggest trees grew. The trees down there were huge because they were supplied by the water of the River Jordan, and the trees really grew tall. And these young men knew it. And away they went with the axe. And they got there, and this young man planned, and he thought to himself, there's the tree I'm cutting down. It's the biggest one of all. It was huge. And so he rolled up his sleeves, and he got the axe, and he put a couple of little marks on the tree, and he's going to aim at them, you see. And he began to swing the axe, and he was chopping away at this tree, and he was going like it, like mad, and the little bits of wood were flying everywhere. And he was thinking to himself, I'm nearly through, you can hear this old tree creaking. And he thought to himself, one or two more big swings, and I'll have it down. And he swung again, and he swung again, and he thought to himself, it's got to go this time. And he was going to shout out, timber! And he pulled the axe back to give it one last big chop. And as he came at it full flight, suddenly, the head came right off the axe. And it flew into the air. And splash, it fell right down into the middle of the River Jordan. And the young man cried out. And he was in an awful state, because it wasn't even his axe. And it was borrowed, and now it had flew off the handle, and it was in the water, and big trouble. And he was in a terrible state. And Elisha the prophet came up alongside and wanted to know what was wrong. And the young man explained, well, you know, we're here today, and we're going to cut down some trees, and I had picked that tree there. That's the biggest one. You see how tall it is? And he said, I borrowed an axe from my friend. He very kindly gave it to me. I was going to look after it. And we came along here, and he said, I rolled up my sleeve, and I told everybody to stand back, and I put a couple of little marks in the tree, and I began to chop, and the wood was flying everywhere. And he said, just whenever it was about to fall, I swung back one last time. I was going to shout, timber! And he said, as I came with the axe to cut it down, the head came off the axe, and it went up in the air, nearly hit somebody. And it went down, splash, right into the middle of that big River Jordan. And I don't know what to do. And boys and girls, if you read very carefully in this passage, get your mom and dad to do it maybe tomorrow night, bedtime, remember I said. And you know what? The prophet Elisha did something really strange. He didn't turn around and say, right, who's a good swimmer here? Can dive in, get this? He didn't say, anybody got a boat or a rope? No, no. He did something really strange. He turned around, and behind him he pulled a branch or a stick off a tree. He just broke it right off. And he took that, and he threw it into the River Jordan, as if there wasn't enough in there already. And the Bible says something happened. It says as soon as the branch hit the water, that the axe head, it floated to the top. And the Bible puts it beautifully. It says the iron did swim. There it is, swimming along the top. Just the way you do with your armbands on down the swimmers. There it goes, right along. And the young man was able to reach in and lift the axe head and put it right back onto the shaft. And everything was well. And that's the end of the story. That's it all finished. And as a wee boy, I used to wonder, what was the point in putting that in the Bible? Of all the things that is found in the Bible, wonderful things, tremendous things, marvelous things, why would God put that in the Bible? A story about a school that needed to be knocked down and rebuilt. And young men who went out to knock down trees, cut down trees, and the axe head flying off and going in the water and throwing in the branch, and being able to get the axe head back again. I suppose we could say, well, it was a miracle. God did a miracle. That would never normally happen. But why put that story in the Bible when in the minutes that we have left, the closing moments of this meeting, I want to look very briefly. Now, there are two ways we can go. We can look at this story. It's a wonderful illustration of a child of God who has lost their cutting edge in service for the Master. Or we want to go a different direction tonight. We want to take a little gospel message out of this wonderful passage. Boys and girls, are you sitting up? Are you listening? Because I want to tell you, the reason why this is here. We want to look at two things in particular. We want to look, first of all, at the axe and the axe head. Because you see this axe head that's described in this story? It's a picture of every single person, starting here, going right round the back, all the good-looking people up at the top, changing my mind a bit there, and right over to this side, and all the boys and girls here at the front. This is a picture of us all. And we, as the Bible tells us, are all sinners, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And this axe head is a picture of you and of me tonight. Here's the reason why. First of all, look very carefully. This axe head is very sharp. Do you see that? See how sharp that is? It's very sharp. What a picture that is of the sinner. Oh, how sharp, how cutting we can be, especially with this. Maybe even in the playground this week, you have said something to another wee boy or girl. Oh, it has been very cutting, very hurtful. And they've maybe not reacted at the time. And there's that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not true. And you've maybe said something hurtful, and they've never reacted, but at home, there've maybe been tears. Because you've said something cutting, hurtful with this. Maybe a mum or a dad in the meeting. And maybe there's been words said today, maybe even on the way here in the car. It's hard to take back. Whenever we let fly. Because it comes from in here and out through here. And we can be so cutting, so hurtful. You see, this old axe head is a picture of us all. The things that we do and say. But not only that, boys and girls, mums and dads. Secondly, this axe head is a picture of the sinner. Because number two, look at it, look at it, look at me. It's really hard. I'm only going to do this one time because it always hurts me. You watching this? It's really hard. And what a picture that is of the sinner. Oh, how hard we can be. With one another, yes. But hard also against God. Hard against the Savior. How do I know that? I've never met most of you people. I've never met some of you boys and girls. How do I know? Because you can very easily come into this house and hear about a Savior who came into this scene of time, who suffered and bled and died and was spat upon and was laughed at and was mocked. And then in the hours of darkness, 3 hours during the day, how God poured out his wrath upon him for you, and he was forsaken for you. And you can hear all that and listen to all that, and your heart is so hard that you can immediately walk out of the building and have no more thought of him. And every time you do that, it gets harder and harder and harder. Oh, that God, as Ezekiel says, would give you tonight a heart of flesh. Do you know what a heart of flesh is? Boys and girls, put your hand out like this here a minute or two. And put your other hand out like this. I want you just to feel your hand and feel your cheek. Feel how soft that is. Some of these men over here, this doesn't apply to you. That's what flesh is. And God says you need to have a heart of flesh. And I'll give you that heart. I'll take away the heart of stone. The hard heart, like this axe. Oh, that you would have a heart that's soft and tender to the things of God. And that he would speak to you tonight. Don't go. Leave this place hard against the gospel. Against the Savior. Because your latter end will be destruction. Everlasting destruction that will be. But lastly, and most importantly, boys and girls, we are like this axe head. We are sinners because like this old axe head, we are lost. Do you remember the axe head? Flew up into the air, splash, down into the middle of the river. It was lost. It would still be lost today. Only God stepped in. It would be lost for all eternity. Only God stepped in. You know, boys and girls, mums and dads, out of Christ, you are lost in your sin tonight. Lost in your sin. But I want you to consider your lost condition. Think of this axe head. This axe head landed splash right in the middle of that river. And it sunk down, 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 down. Now, if you've ever fallen into a river, it's different than the swimming pool. You all go to the swimmers, you're like me, and you're letting on your swim, and your toes are touching the bottom, and your mummy's there trying to keep her hair nice. But the bottom of the swimming pool's all lovely tiles, isn't it? And if you happen to drop your goggles in, you can always get them really easy if you're a good swimmer. But the bottom of a river is different. Bottom of a river is all muck and mire and filth and dirt. And the old devil, boys and girls, listen to me. He's not satisfied for you just to be lost. He wants you tonight, mums and dads, not just to be lost, but to sink down, down, down into the muck and the mire at the bottom, so that even society will turn its back on you. And the devil will mock and leave you there. Because that's where a lost condition will find you, this side of eternity. But aren't I so glad tonight that the story doesn't end there? That's the first part. That's the first illustration. We need to move on very quickly to the second. There was a remedy. Something happened. The situation was changed in a moment. God's man could see the problem. And what did he do? Remember, boys and girls, he reached back and he broke that branch, cast it into the water, and the axe head floated up to the top and was rescued. You see, that branch is a picture of a very important person. Whenever you read God's word, you will read of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He has many, many titles. You know, in one place he's called the Lamb of God. Somewhere else he's called the Lion of Judah. Somewhere else he's called the Door. In the book of Isaiah, he's called the Righteous Branch. This branch that God's servant used, introduced, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture of our Savior. Do you notice whenever the branch hit the water, it didn't sink down into the muck and mire? Did you notice that? You see, whenever the Savior came into this scene of time, whenever he spent time with men and women and boys and girls, and he sat with sinners, he didn't sink. He didn't drop into sin. He wasn't lost. He had no sin. He came to save the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And boys and girls, as soon as the Savior is introduced, do you notice how the axe head was drawn up to the Savior? And as the Savior abides in this place tonight, he's calling for you. And he knows you're lost more than you even do yourself. And he's drawing you onto himself. What a miracle. It was a miracle in the physical realm, but what a miracle in the spiritual realm tonight you can have. Oh, that you would hear that call, realize your lost condition, cry unto the Savior. Of course, that branch also reminds me of the tree. Think of the tree of Calvary upon which the Savior died for your sin, for my sin, that we could go free. Oh, that you would come and make him your Savior tonight. And boys and girls, do it now before it is forever too late. I'm going to hand back over to your minister. I want to thank you so much for listening so well tonight. And we trust that God will bless these few thoughts to your hearts even now.